Clay Travis. Kind of a funny meme going around the internet right now, and you think about the way that people are going to respond. You know, they had the little buttons, you know, that you push as the meme, and one of them says, wear my mask to signal my virtue, and the other one says, remove my mask to show I'm vaccinated. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, inspired by Rush.
The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, live weekdays noon to 3 on WLVL. Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
Good morning. My name is John Mazur, and we have in studio with us this morning, President and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital, our good friend Ann McCaffrey. And Ann will be here to ask questions. If you would like to jump in with us here at 433-1433, we're also going to carry on a conversation. And so, on this beautiful Wednesday morning, Ann, good morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Yes, well, it's great to be with you, too. And I guess I really want to just get started off with kind of a hot topic. We know that there is difficulty with Catholic Health down at Mercy Hospital and the strike. And there's some questions that people have had about, is this going to have an impact on the new hospital here in Lockport?
Yes, it's a good question, and people have asked me that as well. And, you know, even some of our employees and people in the community are wondering, is there an impact? And I can happily tell our community that it is not impacting Catholic Health's plans to build a new hospital in Lockport. All of that is still proceeding as planned. And we have Catholic Health leadership join every one of our board calls, and they were on a couple weeks ago reiterating that this is all on track and progressing to plan. And I'm on the phone pretty much every day, half of my day, with a lot of the Catholic Health leadership working through all of our plans. So there is no interruption in the plan for our new hospital, I'm happy to say.
Well, that's great. And thank you for taking that question, because I know it's on the minds of many, many people, but it's nice to be reassured that things are moving forward with the plans for here in Lockport.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, we're expecting to have shovels in the ground later this month, in the month of November. So we'll keep that information coming, but all is progressing. I think they're waiting on one more last approval from the state, and we should be good to go to start that construction.
All right. And we have a call. Let's go ahead to the phones. Good morning. Okay. So I thought somebody was going to be there for us. And anyways, you have been investing an awful lot of your life and time over the last many years now at Eastern Niagara Hospital. And just, you know, we've been getting these regular updates throughout the pandemic, and it's been great. And I know that people have responded very well. Thank you for informing us, keeping us informed as to what's happening with our local hospital. What's the current situation now? And this is the 3rd of November.
At the hospital, just in general?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Things are going really well. It's business as usual. At East Avenue, we continue to operate all of the services that we have for the last year. Our staffing is doing very well. And I think there's a really good vibe in the hospital right now. I think our staff are really engaged and committed to our community, and it shows in the compassion that they share with our patients every day. And Transit Road is going very well also. So, you know, it's business as usual. We're busy. No 2 days in healthcare are the same. There's always something different happening. But, you know, our team is up to the challenge every single day, and I think our community sees that.
If I can clue you in on something, there are no 2 days in radio.
I bet that's
the
true,
same
too.
But with COVID still on the forefront of our minds here, are there patients currently at the hospital?
Yes. I think we have two today. Typically, we're in the single digits. It's usually one or two. Hasn't really been more than three most recently. So kind of hovering in that range. And, you know, the COVID positive numbers are continuing in the community. People are getting tested and determining if they have it or not. But I think, you know, with the vaccination being so widespread for so many months now, it's definitely reduced the number of COVID positive people and I think the seriousness of those symptoms. So we are still seeing patients who require hospitalization because of their COVID symptoms. But really, I think the thing, and I you're probably going to ask me in a minute, but I guess I'll jump ahead. Mm-hmm. What we're offering that I think is really important for our community is the monoclonal antibody treatment. So that's for individuals who are COVID positive, but aren't sick enough to be in the hospital. And what it is about an hour service at the hospital. They come in, we identify that they are an appropriate patient for the service, and they get an infusion of a special monoclonal antibody treatment, which has been proven very effective in addressing the symptoms of COVID. So we've been really pleased to offer that. It has been extremely busy. And I know our team has been getting calls every day, all day, with many, many people in the region who need the monoclonal antibody treatment. And doctor's offices are calling and patients are calling to get that. And it's not available everywhere. So I think it's great for our community that we've been able to offer that. Mm-hmm. And that's been a way that we've been able to help with COVID right now.
So, in other words, you're keeping Marilyn and Caitlin quite busy.
You got
there.
It. Marilyn and Caitlin are very busy with us. Their phones are ringing nonstop.
So, as far as a person, now, somebody to qualify for the treatment has to have the symptoms? Is that my understanding?
No, they have to be COVID positive.
Oh, they have to have the virus.
Okay. So they have to be somebody, they've gotten tested, they're symptomatic, they have COVID, and they should really talk to their primary care doctor and ask their primary care doctor if they think that they're an appropriate patient for this service.
Okay, that was leading me to my question then of, can somebody just walk in the front door and request that, or should they be referred by their PC?
They have to be referred.
Okay.
They can't just walk. It's not a walk-in service. So if somebody is COVID positive, has symptoms, and feels that they would like this treatment, they should call their doctor and see if they're an appropriate candidate for it.
Mm-hmm. And as far as visitation goes, have the hours been back to normal, or are we still on a restricted visitation basis?
You know, because we still have COVID positive patients, we're very cautious about visitors. And I know it's difficult, but we are allowing visitors, but it is at set times, and it's usually one person at a time. Certainly if somebody is at the end of life or they're extenuating circumstances, we will make arrangements for that. But what we really want to do is just not encourage the spread of the virus throughout the hospital. And we don't always know a visitor's vaccination status, and certainly we don't want to put anybody at risk. So mm-hmm. We are allowing visitations, but it is very controlled.
As far as the staff goes, one of the things I think this community can really be proud of is the fact that with the state mandate for vaccinations, and we spoke a month ago, I think, with you about that, and the fact that so many staff at Eastern Niagara Hospital went ahead and got vaccinated. And that's still, I mean, you still have a real high number of the percentage of staff, right?
That's right. It has stayed extremely high. It's, you know, about 98% of our staff are vaccinated, just a handful that have an exemption. But really, I mean, we shifted from 75, 80% all the way up to 97, 98%. So a real significant shift. And, you know, we're very pleased that we were able to meet that mandate and not have any impact on our services.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ann McCaffrey this morning on Ask the Pro right here on WLVL. If you would like to call in and ask a question, 433-1433 is our number here. And the program this morning is being sponsored by Catholic Health on behalf of Eastern Niagara Hospital. And as far as the vaccinations go, I remember getting a phone call from Carolyn shortly after the vaccines became available. And she said, John, our lobby is just flooded with people who want the vaccine. And we think back, that wasn't that long ago. And how much progress has been made with that? Is the hospital still offering vaccines? And what about the booster shots now?
I think that's a great question, and I'm happy to share what's going on with that. You're right. I mean, when the vaccine first came out, and as you recall, it really got distributed to hospitals first before it was anywhere else. So we were very fortunate that we partnered with the state and the county to make sure that Eastern Niagara Hospital was able to vaccinate as many people as we could, as quickly as we could. So we hit those high-risk categories first. First it was over 75, then it was over 65, certainly our healthcare workers right from the beginning. And then, you know, the criteria changed. But because at that point, It wasn't available at pharmacies. We were able to open our doors at the hospital and vaccinate as many people as we possibly could. And, you know, when I think back to the whole pandemic, those are some that, you know, some of those days were really, to me, very memorable, because what a feeling of accomplishment to know that we could vaccinate so many people in our community. It was about 3,000 people that
wow.
we vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now things have changed dramatically, and those vaccines are widely available, both through the Niagara County Health Department, their clinics, local pharmacies, local physician offices. So now that the vaccine is so widely available, we're getting back to the business of what we do, which is hospital services, and we are not at this point planning to offer the booster shot. So I do want to let the public know, anyone who's listening, if you did get your vaccine at Eastern Niagara Hospital and you're eligible for a booster or you would like a booster, you should really go to your local pharmacy, your local doctor's office. It is widely available, and you can go ahead and get that booster there. You know, we have a finite number of staff at Eastern Niagara Hospital, and we're dedicating our staff to the most important services. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those staff that we're doing the vaccines are now focused on our antibody clinic, the monoclonal antibody clinic. So we want to make sure we're able to offer that service. And since the vaccine is at all of the local drugstores, we're really encouraging patients who want that booster shot to go ahead and get it either through the county or their doctor or a local pharmacy.
Well, that's good advice, and thank you. And with the boosters now, I'm not sure that I'm totally up to speed, but Moderna has a booster available.
Correct.
Does Pfizer as well?
Pfizer does as well.
Okay, so what about, do you know much about the mixing and matching of the vaccines?
So the information keeps coming out, you know, in dribs and drabs, and I think it's changing day by day. I think the latest that I heard is they're saying that you could potentially mix and match. I would check with your doctor.
Yeah.
I think most people are sticking with the one that they got, and I think, you know, that's probably my recommendation, is stick with the brand that you originally started with. But yes, Pfizer and Moderna have both come out with the booster. The Moderna booster is a half a dose of what the first two doses were. So a little bit of a smaller amount, but it's the same medication mix or vaccination mix. So yes, Pfizer and Moderna are available, and anyone interested in getting that booster should call their pharmacy or their doctor.
Yeah. And I think it probably goes without saying, but anybody who has any questions or concerns really should be consulting their primary care first.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. And so Ann McCaffrey's in studio with us this morning on Ask the Pro. And let's get away from COVID for a moment and talk about the other one, the influenza. We're coming into the season for it. What is the hospital's stance on, you know, preparation for the incoming flu?
Sure. So it's interesting, because last year's typical flu season really didn't exist like it normally would, because everyone was still socially distancing, hand washing, wearing masks, and, you know, everyone was, you know, a lot of people were working remotely and whatnot. So because that is now, you know, as society has reopened, and I think we're all happy and grateful for that, and people are interacting more, we are expecting to see probably more flu this year than we did last year. So we would certainly encourage people to get the flu shot if that's appropriate for them. Continue good hand washing, hand hygiene. If you're not feeling well, don't go out in public so that you don't expose other people to it. But we are expecting to see more of a flu season this year than we did last year. And I would encourage anyone to get the flu vaccine, because it is very effective.
Mm-hmm. You know, you pick up the newspaper every day, and you get maybe a different reading every couple of days. Late last week, we were being told that the number of COVID cases, I'm back on COVID for a moment.
Okay.
Sorry about the transition there, but, you know, are going down in Western New York. And then I think it was in maybe yesterday's paper, or did I read something in today's paper that, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, because the numbers are increasing again. Do you have a sense of any reason why it's an up and down thing? Is it because people are being a lot less concerned with social distancing and mask wearing?
I would say probably that's part of it. And I think the numbers, you know, there are breakthrough cases of people getting COVID even though they've been vaccinated. But those individuals who do get COVID in that situation are getting a much less severe case of it than they would have gotten if they weren't vaccinated. So even though it's still a COVID positive, it's not quite as severe as it would have been. So I think we're still, you know, it's going to be with us for some time. I think we all know that. And the numbers will go up and they'll go down, and we'll keep seeing that ebb and flow. But I think, you know, as long as people can get vaccinated and wear masks if they're in a situation where they feel that's appropriate. But then, you know, we all at some point also have to live our lives. So we've got to measure all that together.
Right. I have another question on that subject, but we'll go to the phones right now. Good morning. You're on Ask the Pro with Ann McCaffrey. Hello. All righty. I guess they didn't want to be on the phone with Ann McCaffrey.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So tying it together, the reason I was jumping around between COVID, the flu, and back to COVID, are there any precautions that we need to be aware of or any things that we can be doing? Like, is it possible for somebody to get the flu and have COVID also, or what are coming into this season? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so when we test someone for COVID, we have the ability to also test for flu and other respiratory ailments. Mm-hmm. And sometimes somebody, you know, a lot of those symptoms can be similar to each other. So it is important when we are testing someone who's symptomatic that we're testing for flu, for RSV, for COVID, to make sure that we've got it right. And so some of those symptoms are very similar. But again, it's the same precautions you would take for all of them. So good hand washing, good hygiene. If you're not feeling well, don't cough and sneeze near other people. Really monitor yourself and try to keep those hands clean and use hand sanitizer. And if you are in a setting with a lot of people, you might want to wear a mask. So, you know, just that basic, good habits of maintaining your health and not picking something up from somebody else and not passing it along. So it's really the same, traits apply to both of those.
Common sense.
Exactly.
When
That's
it comes
right.
down to it. Yeah.
I think common sense always applies.
Yeah. So another big part of ENH is the ER. And so as things have loosened up with COVID and we were coming changing seasons, have you seen an increase or a decrease in the traffic flow in the emergency room department there?
Yeah, our ER has been very busy. The one thing that I'm really pleased about, I know, and it's been reported in Buffalo, because of the issues in Buffalo right now, a lot of the Buffalo emergency departments are just completely overwhelmed. And they, you know, long, long wait times, 8-10 hours is what I'm hearing at a lot of the hospitals in Buffalo. You're not going to see that in Lockport. We've got the same UBMD physicians in Lockport that are at a lot of the Buffalo hospitals. They are all board certified. They're phenomenal. They have been an incredible asset to our community, and I know have improved the health of many people in our community. So you can get that same great care with our local physicians from UBMD here in Lockport and have only a couple hour wait time altogether. And when I say couple hour, I don't mean wait time. I mean from the minute you walk in the door to the minute you leave. So we're very pleased that the time in our ER is much shorter. We're going to do those diagnostic tests right away. A lot of times individuals coming to our emergency department need some sort of imaging, be it an x-ray, a CT scan, an MRI, some blood work. We're going to get that all done quickly and have a board certified UBMD physician determine the diagnosis and hopefully get you on your way as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, people's time is very important and it's valuable, and they want to get the proper diagnosis as quickly as they can and get on the path to recovery from whatever ailment it is that they're working through. And, you know, I think knowing that we have these top-notch physicians right in our ER and can, you know, prevent someone from having to go to Buffalo is really important.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ann McCaffrey this morning, President and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital. She is our Ask the Pro guest this morning. And if you would like to call and ask Ann a question, you may do so by dialing 716-433-1433. So, Ann, looking ahead now a couple of years, my understanding is that the whole purpose of the new hospital is to provide this community with state-of-the-art, up-to-date medical care, especially in the emergency room department. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. So it's so important for our community to have access to excellent emergency care, and that we have it now and we'll continue to have that in the future at a brand new state-of-the-art hospital. So it's going to be a very exciting time for our community when that opens.
Right. And the other thing I want to emphasize, because this comes up from time to time, the fact is that E&H over on East Avenue is going to remain intact, in place, until the new hospital is open. So there won't be any gap in coverage for people who need the ER services.
That's exactly right. All of the services that we have open right now will continue operational while we're here, and that's a good 18 months or so. So, you know, the ER is open and very busy every day. Our inpatient beds are available to our community so we can treat COVID patients and other medical ailments that our community is facing. And, you know, really, it's difficult if, you know, for especially for our senior citizens and the elderly in our community, if their spouse is going to the hospital and they want to go visit them, you know, it's difficult for people to get downtown and, you know, park and the traffic. And it's just, you know, I think it's so important that we're able to maintain inpatient services in our community, both currently at Eastern Niagara and then in the future at the new hospital. So it's just, you know, it's not as much of a hardship if nobody wants to be in the hospital. But if you are, it's nice to know that we've got the top quality care that's accredited by our outside hospital accreditation agency, and you can rest assured that you're going to get excellent care at Eastern Niagara. So, yeah, all of our services are staying intact, and, you know, I'm really pleased with our staffing that are, you know, we've got really good relationships with our unions and our labor partners and our staff. We have got some of the best nurses and support staff in the region, and we are so thrilled to have them every day.
Mm-hmm. When you stop and look at the big picture and realize it was years ago that Eastern Niagara Hospital decided to branch out over to Transit Road, I'm sure that there were some skeptics, that there were some people saying, why do they need to do that? We have a perfectly good operation over here on East Avenue. But yet it has proven to be a tremendous asset, not only for the hospital structure itself, but for the community. People can get the services that they need in a timely manner. They're being seen by very capable and very well-trained physicians and support staff there on Transit Road. I guess what I'm thinking is that same kind of mentality, that forward thinking, really is also behind the plans for the new hospital. So let's take what we had, improve on it. Now let's take what we have and improve on that. And that's how I see this whole thing developing over the next couple of years.
You're absolutely right. And you said the words I was thinking, that it's forward thinking. And I think that's, you know, I certainly give the hospital leadership from years ago credit for thinking ahead of what should the future of healthcare look like, and let's get ahead of it. And it really is outpatient surgery. So, you know, I give the hospital leadership credit for really developing a state-of-the-art ambulatory surgery center that can meet the needs of, you know, we've got about 80,000 to 100,000 residents in the eastern portion of Niagara County, to know that they can go in their community and get that ambulatory surgery and go in the morning and be home by the afternoon is just an incredible asset for us to have that. It was forward thinking. And you're absolutely right. That same mentality applies to the new hospital. So I think when we walk into any healthcare facility, we want it to be new and modern and state of the art. And that's what we've developed on Transit Road. And that's also what we're going to have with the new hospital. So it is. It's the same concept of let's, you know, when I talk to the Catholic Health leadership, I'm reminded, and I love this thought, we're not building the hospital of the past, we're building the hospital of the future. And that's really what it is. It's understanding where healthcare is now and where it's going, and not recreating what it was years ago. You know, I was with some friends the other night talking about when they were hospitalized as a kid and being in the hospital for weeks. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen, with a broken leg. So you don't see that now. I mean, you would get your cast on, you would go home, and, you know, if you needed surgery, you'd be home in the afternoon. Very rarely are you seeing somebody in the hospital for weeks and weeks on it. I mean, it's just not a very common thing. Mm-hmm. And it's because there's so many advances. So it's really understanding the advances made in medical care and surgical services, and so many things are laparoscopic, and really it is great for the patient because it's a quicker recovery time and it gets people home quicker. So it's really that same mindset of really being forward thinking, thinking about where healthcare is going, and certainly keeping it local, keeping those critical healthcare services local, close to home for all of our residents, and getting the best possible care that you can. So, yeah, I think it is the same mentality, the transit road, the design that we have with the new hospital.
Mm-hmm. So I know we have some new folks in the area, and they may be listening. And so for somebody who's new to Eastern Niagara County, to Lockport, explain to us all the services. What can be done on the Transit Road site? I know there's a couple different departments.
Sure. So at Transit Road, I'll start from left to right. So if you're looking at the building on the left, we have our urgent care. And the urgent care is open every day, 7 days a week from 9 in the morning until 7 p.m. And we have physicians on site. We have access to x-ray, lab work. And it's really for any type of urgent care visit that you don't feel really requires an emergency room, but you've got some issue that's really an annoyance, you want to get it addressed, and you can't get into your doctor's office, for example. Or, your doctor's office isn't open and it's after work and you want to get in there, you know, after you're done working, something like that. So our urgent care, you know, I'm just so pleased with the providers that we have there, the nurses. We try to get people in and out as quickly as possible and on their way, oftentimes back to work or back to their family. So the urgent care is a very important service for us. And it's also, you know, people are cost conscious and they don't want to necessarily get an ER bill if it's something minor, but yet it's something annoying and they want to get it treated. So the urgent care is a great way to get that service and not have a full ER visit if it doesn't require that. In addition to the urgent care, we've got imaging services. So we've got mammography, and, you know, we just came out of October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it's so important for women to stay on top of getting that annual mammogram to make sure if there's anything there that they get it addressed in a timely manner and make sure that they get that resolved. So we have mammography there 6 days a week. Excuse me while I take a quick sip of water.
Mm. I was going to ask if you needed something. I'd be happy to. Oh, wait a minute. I can't. I'm in another room here. But
all good.
You came prepared.
I
so
did.
That's good. Yeah.
We also have x-ray at Transit Road. And then we also have outpatient blood draw. So if you get that script from your doctor and you want to get that blood work done, that's available at Transit Road as well. And then on the right-hand side, we have our four operating rooms in the whole surgery center. So pre-op, surgery, and recovery, and we can get you right in and right out. In addition to all of those services, we also have occupational health. And this is a really important service to the community as well, because we've got employers in the community who maybe have a new hire coming on and they need to have that pre-employment physical to prove that they're fit for work. We also do DOT testing and drug testing for large employers. So we've got contracts with many employers throughout the region, and they can go right to Transit Road, send their employees for that pre-employment physical, other drug testing, transportation, driver testing, things like that. And we can do all of that right at Transit Road. So it really is, it's an excellent array of services to meet the most important needs of our community and keep it local. You know, a lot of times, again, as I said, we're dealing with people who want to get back to work. So you don't want to have to drive to Buffalo to get something done like this that doesn't require that time travel. Let's do it all right here and get people right back to their day.
And you've been adding to the staff, the surgical staff, on Transit Road over the last many months now. And I know Dr. Fetterman is he's overseeing.
Correct.
The staff there on Transit Road. And is that process continuing? In other words,
it is. Yes. In fact, we have a couple new surgeons that we should be announcing probably in the next few weeks that'll be starting out there with a new service that we haven't done prior. So when we get that all signed, sealed, and delivered, we will be the first to let you know. But yes, we do. We continue to have new interest in surgeons there. One of the things that we have a new, well, he's not that new. He's been with us about a year, but Dr. Warren Rogers, and he's doing spinal epidurals once a week, and really, which is really important for people with chronic back pain and other pain. And he's been very busy with that, doing those epidurals right at our transit road site. So again, it's a service that is important for people who do have pain and need to address it that way. So again, it's a really important service in our community. We're so pleased with the way it's working.
On the surgery side of the building, those patients are set up through their primary care.
They're set up, well, through their primary care or that surgeon. So,
oh, okay.
Either one. That's
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So on the urgent care side or the express care side, somebody walks in off the street. They think they may have broken their thumb and they need to be looked at, but they didn't take the time to go to their PC's office. Is there a system of integrating that information back from the transit road site back to that person's PC?
That's right. So what you described is right. Somebody gets injured at work. They go right there. They're not going to call necessarily their doctor yet. They need to get it treated immediately.
Right, right.
And most doctor's offices don't have walk-in capability because they've got patients booked. So, yes, somebody's going to walk in off the street, get registered, get seen by our physician, and then that information in most instances gets linked up to HealthyLink, which is the overarching health system that their primary care doctor will then get that record from that. There are also instances where we're reaching right out directly back to those primary care offices to say your patient was here, this is what we treated them for, and make sure that follow-up occurs for that patient afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that somebody is thinking, wow, I've hadn't really needed to do anything, and then all of a sudden, what if I did go there? Is my doctor going to find out about it?
And that's right.
Certainly, there's a great system in place to do that. 433-1433. We're going to try this again, Ann, and see. Good morning. You are on Ask the Pro with Ann McCaffrey.
Is the 3D mammo digital?
Yes, we do have 3D mammography, and it's digital. That's correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, that was short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy question to answer.
That was.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, Eastern Niagara purchased the 3D mammography, I want to say maybe 4 years or so ago, and it is a really important service in our community. Mammography is so important. I think prior to that, we had 2D, but to know that we do have 3D, which is the most upgraded version of mammography that you can have, and have that right in our community is really important.
Mm-hmm. So from the financial standpoint, things are continuing to progress for the new facility.
That's correct.
And things are stable right now at the East Avenue location.
That's
correct?
Right.
Okay. Both good pieces of news.
That's right. Yeah. We like stable.
You can't imagine the smile on Ann's face when I ask that question. It's like, wow, the burden has been lifted somewhat.
You are exactly right. That's
yeah.
True, John.
Okay.
That's very true.
So I heard something about this Lockport benefit ball. That took place over at the Lockport Town and Country Club. What was going on with that?
Yeah, so there was a group of community-minded women who got together and really wanted to have a charity event, raise money, and find a local cause, and really do this more than once. So this is the first one, but it'll keep occurring every year. So I think we had a group of about eight local women. Some were mothers and daughters. So it's nice to see the multi-generation influence, too. But what we had was a charity event fundraiser at the Country Club with about 150 people there, and it raised about $10,000
wow.
for the new hospital, specific for the sexual assault nurse examination room. So, unfortunately, there are many instances in our community where there are women who become victims of a sexual assault, and they come to the emergency department to get treated, get the proper treatment plan going forward, and get the forensic work done. And it's complicated. We need to have compassionate people doing it. We need to continue. It's an important service that we're doing at Eastern Niagara and will continue at the new hospital. So the money raised from this benefit ball will go towards the equipment in the new sexual assault nurse examination room at the new hospital. But really, it was just a wonderful opportunity for our community to come together. The momentum and the excitement in in the air about the new hospital was you could really feel it. And it was just a great night for community-minded people to come together, enjoy each other's company, and support a really good cause. So we haven't determined what next year's group will be that will benefit from it, but if anyone has some ideas, we're open to hearing what suggestions are, and we'll be looking to find a cause for next year. But we were so happy that we could get everyone together and raise some money for the new hospital.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to hear that there's a group in the community that's so like-minded and behind this new project. And so that led me to thinking, gee, I wonder if there are going to be other opportunities. And you're telling us that obviously next year there's going to be yet another one of these, perhaps with a different focus. But if people are interested in finding out how they can support the new hospital in these early days, is there any forum or any way that people can get involved?
Yeah, and you know, I'll bring that back to Catholic Health. I think we're definitely going to want to have more community engagement in the future. And we've got some plans that we'll be unveiling to really get the community aware and informed and get more feedback. You know, COVID really put a damper on a lot of our community relations in terms of having forums and getting people all together. But I think, you know, because so many people are vaccinated and are cautious, I think we'll be able to come up with a format where we can really bring the community together. We want to make sure we think the services we have today are necessary and critical for our community, but we certainly want feedback. So there, we'll be able to announce it in a future time some more opportunities for community engagement, for people to potentially volunteer and get involved and be part of this excitement of building a new hospital.
Over on East Avenue, the situation with the staff you've reported to us is very, very high percentage of those who were vaccinated. Also, we know that a couple of months ago, in a unanimous vote, the staff voted to ratify the new contract, which those are all great positive things. As far as the staffing levels at Eastern Niagara, are there openings? Or are you still looking for new nursing staff or administration or other departments?
Yes, we are. We always have openings, and anyone who's interested in applying can look at our website, www.enhs.org, and we do have current positions posted. What I've been really pleased with is, you know, there's always attrition. People retire, people move, and so you always have people coming and going, and I'm just really pleased that we've been able to recruit and bring new people on when we do have someone departing. So our staffing has been stable. We're always monitoring it, and if someone leaves, we immediately want to refill that position. So we're working through that, but our staffing has been stable, and we're just really pleased with the team that we have.
Mm-hmm. Your website is very comprehensive. There's an awful lot of information. If somebody were interested in pursuing perhaps a job in the maintenance department, let's say, can they go to the website and get information, or should they call? What's the process?
They can go on the website, and at the top, I'm not sure if it's worded careers or employment, one or the other, and click on that, and it will bring you to a link listing all of the openings that we have at the hospital right now. So it'll describe it by title in a brief description of that job, if it's full-time or part-time. And then after they've read that, if they do want more information, they could certainly call our human resources department at the hospital and get more information about how to apply. There's also a link that allows people to apply directly online, so they can complete that application and submit it right in online.
Does ENH have a Facebook presence?
We do. Carolyn Moore runs that, as you can imagine.
Oh, boy.
She does a fantastic job.
I was going to say, that means it's well organized.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there is a Facebook page. That's right.
Yeah. I personally don't do Facebook. But more and more, as we've been talking with people in the community and different organizations, companies, so forth, that seems to be, you know, obviously that was the trend over the last bunch of years now, is to get more and more contacts through Facebook and other social media sites. So that's good to know that there is a site there for ENH. And Ann McCaffrey is with us this morning. She is on our Ask the Pro show on this Wednesday morning on WLVL. This is being brought to you by Catholic Health of Western New York. And Ann, of course, the president and CEO of Eastern Niagara Hospital. 433-1433 is our number if you would like to ask Ann questions. And so this morning, and I don't know if you were probably way, way busy, but during Wake Up Niagara this morning, we had Jen Berto on with us, who is the director of the Reflections Recovery Program there at Eastern Niagara. And she reminded us, of course, I'd heard this a couple of times, but I forget, that there's a lot of people that don't realize that there is this recovery program available right in the building at ENH.
That's right.
And so as we come into the holiday season, she was telling us a little bit about the effect that the holidays have on people facing addictions. Do you know currently, is it a full level of people in there now, or
we have a few openings right now. Mm-hmm. If there is somebody who is requiring that treatment, they could certainly call that department and we could look at the referral and make sure that they're an appropriate person. But yes, we do. It's a 30 bed unit. And we've been cautious about making sure that it's, you know, we're protecting people from COVID because mm-hmm. they're all living and working, you know, working through their treatment together. So we make sure that people are COVID negative before they get into the unit, and we want to make sure that they're socially distanced. So that's kept our numbers a little bit lower because we're cautious about that. But yes, it's a really important service. It's something that the hospital's done for many, many years. And Jennifer Berto is a phenomenal manager. She's a nurse manager. She cares about each and every one of the patients in the unit and is really, just so supportive and knowledgeable about addictions and recovery, and really just does a fantastic job to ensure that each patient coming to Eastern Niagara gets the best treatment that they can so that they can go back into their home and their community and live a life free of substances. You know, a lot of times people get treatment out in an outpatient facility, which is great and can work for many people, but sometimes they need to have that consecutive time period where they can really focus completely on themselves 24 hours a day, learn fully the attributes that they need to and the behavioral changes that they need to make to really live a life free of substances. And we're talking about alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs. And it's a very effective model to really, it's a 28-day program where people can really spend that time focusing on their addiction and learning to live a life free of that. So Jennifer does a fantastic job, and it is an important service in our community.
She also mentioned that there is currently a, not so much a fundraising drive going on, but they're looking for donations of clothing and other items that the residents could use.
That's
while
right.
They're there.
Yes, you know, oftentimes the individuals who come in for treatment are sometimes coming from a challenging situation and don't have, you know, the clothing that you would expect that they would have, or the support around them that you would expect that they would have. So they are often in needs of, you know, basic clothing and sneakers and hygiene supplies. And in addition to that, you know, a really therapeutic part of the program is art therapy and, you know, doing things like that so they can really release some of the feelings that they have into artwork. And so we're always, you know, looking for additional donations of art supplies. We keep buying them and, you know, we're always looking for donations for that as well. So it is, you know, it's a nice thing to know that when you give something like that, you're really making a difference in someone's life. And I know she's always looking for donations for the patients there.
I did mention to Jen this morning that have somebody get us some of the basic information about the donations availability, how somebody responds or can contact you. And we'll, you know, be happy to talk about it from time to time on Wake Up Niagara.
That'd be great.
And keep that in the forefront because, you know, especially this time of year, you know, somebody's life can absolutely fall apart. And if they're in need of this kind of treatment to get their life back together, I think it's just so important that people in this area know that this facility is available.
I think you're right. And, you know, with all the social distancing, what it also did was socially isolate some people. Yeah. And that, you know, that causes a lot of problems for people. And sometimes people resort to alcohol and drugs to get through a lonely time like that. So I think you compound that again with going into the holidays, and it can be difficult for people. So help is available, and we are here to help anyone who needs us.
All right. Ann McCaffrey, we have run out of time on this Wednesday morning, but we thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I got to figure that you probably wear, what, 4 or 5 hats in the course of a day?
A few hats, yes,
a few
I
hats.
Do.
Yeah, okay. So we do appreciate it, and we invite our listeners to join us next time for more Ask the Pro, brought to you by Catholic Health and Eastern Niagara Hospital. And so, Ann, when you go back to the office, say hi to the staff for us. We know a number of them.
I will.
And you're in our thoughts and prayers a lot. So
thank you.
Thank you so very much. And we'll look forward to our next conversation.
Very good.
All right. This is Ask the Pro on WLVL.
1340 AM, WLVL Lockport, and 105.3 FM, W287 CV Lockport. WLVL.